I had a little panic as we processed in. I got up front and I realized I didn't have my sermon with me. And it's one of those moments where you say, oh no, where is it? And I left it back on the baptismal font. But I had a flashback back to the last parish that we were at down in Naples at St. John's. And it was my turn to preach one weekend. And they had a pulpit that was higher. You had to walk up it to get into it. And I got up to preach and my sermon wasn't there. One of the youth group thought it would be funny to hide my sermon before. And everybody got a good laugh out of it except me. So I was having a little flashback time there as I started the service. Well, one day in a Sunday school, a teacher was teaching her young class the story of Jesus visiting Mary and Martha. And she carefully explained how Mary and Martha did what they were doing, getting the place ready and all of that. And then she paused and asked, what would you do if Jesus was going to visit your house today? And one little girl quickly raised her hand. She says, I would put the Bible out on the coffee table. And if the Lord were to enter your home, how would you react? What would be your first impulse? Would it be to scour the house and get it ready? Clear anything from view that would maybe be offensive to Christ? Would it indeed pull out the Bible that has been hidden for a while and put it out on the table to be seen? Debbie and I used to host a Bible study as a home group in our home on Monday nights years ago when we lived in Orlando, and we would rush in on those afternoons, getting the kids fed, four kids, getting them ready, settled in, picking up, cleaning up, running the vacuum one time, make sure those lines are in the carpet, you know, that you have. And then the people arrive in your frizzled mess and on the inside, and you present yourself as being just as cool as you can be on the outside. Have you ever been like that? Don't get me wrong. We loved it. We loved doing that. We loved our home group. We did that for 14 years before we went into seminary. Even with four kids, I can assure you that our home was always spick and span on Monday night. But it was so easy to get caught up in the busyness of life, especially today. Today we have all the tools to make everything we do easier and faster. But the more easier it gets, the more fast-paced it seems to become. And my point is this: when that busyness of life becomes so much a part of our lives, when it becomes so consuming that we don't have time for anything else, especially listening to God, then our lives can be thrown into a tailspin when it comes to seeking God's direction. Look at our gospel reading today. In this one little piece of scripture that contains no more than five verses comes a bit of information that is priceless and timeless. Martha and Mary are sisters who are also the sisters of Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead. They are close friends of Jesus. Jesus comes into town and Martha invites Jesus over to their home, and naturally, being the good hostess, she is going to get busy. She wants to be the best. She goes into a hostess mode. She might be tidying up things a bit. We know that she's preparing a meal and she probably wants it to be a good one. Something Jesus would enjoy. What an honor to have Jesus right there in her house. So Martha is really hustling to make sure everything is just right. She's missed hospitality, but there is something wrong in her mind. She's not getting the help from her sister Mary that she thought she needed. Mary has welcomed Jesus into the house and now is just sitting at his feet and listening. How unnerving. How rude. Gee, I wish I could just sit. You ever said that? I wish I could sit and do that. But I have all this food to prepare. This is Jesus, after all. And she makes her complaint known to Jesus. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me and to serve alone? Tell her to help me. Lord, don't you care that I'm doing all the work? Lord, don't you care that I am all alone? Tell her to help. Now, I want to say something on Martha's behalf. What Martha was doing is not necessarily wrong. She may have been doing more than she needed. We don't really know that, but we can surmise some of that by how frantic she was. She is obviously doing something that is, in her mind, requires help. So she wants to please Jesus. But there is a time for working, and there's a time to do what Mary is doing, listening. You see, some of this relates to what we have been talking about over the last several weeks. This is actually a continuation. What is motivating us? What drives us? Remember the lawyer that we talked about last week and just the previous verses? He probably did a lot of good things in the name of the temple or to satisfy himself as being righteous, but his heart was not with God. Likewise, our busyness can get into the way of pleasing God if we lose sight of the reasons we're trying to please him. Because in pleasing God, we have to also do what Mary was doing as well. And what was she doing? She gives Jesus the answer. He said, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." You see, Mary wasn't doing nothing. She was listening. And that is what we need to do as well. In fact, that is one of the most important part of what we do as Christians. We have to be in fellowship with him. We have to be on our knees at the very feet of Jesus. Mary couldn't get enough of what Jesus had to say. Every time we visit this Mary in Scripture, she is at the feet of Jesus. She is either worshiping him or seeking relief from him or learning from him. But Martha, for the moment, got preoccupied. Sometimes we can get so preoccupied in trying to please God under our own strength and incentives that we forget why we are doing it. Do you see the difference? Our walk with the living God should be just that, walking with him under his guidance, under his direction and care. We see some of the same hastiness in our reading from Genesis. This is a really big event. We are told that the Lord appeared to Abraham. Now you can try to decipher this as messengers or God, messengers of God or angels, but the whole dialogue appears as "the Lord said." And this could have been actually Jesus visiting Abraham. According to some theologians, that's exactly what they think. But the point is that God was bringing a special message to Abraham. Abraham's immediate response was to do something, get the finest flour, get the tender calf. There is such a haste. Just rush and take care of the special guest. There is little time to listen to the message. And what is the message? Remember the fact that you're going to be a father of a nation. That was the promise given to him. Well, Abraham is going to happen. You see, it will be Abraham's offspring that will usher in the coming of the Messiah. It will be through him that God, speaking to him, is going to come in human form. And here comes the announcement. Where is Sarah, your wife? This is going to involve her also. She's going to have a son by this time next year when I return to you. Do you see how the Lord is guiding Abraham? And he needs to listen to this one thing. I will come back next year and you're going to have a son. And Sarah has been off fixing the thing, preparation. But right now she's listening outside the tent. And we know the story. She laughs to herself. She's not listening to her heart. She's not listening to God. She's only looked at the outward appearances. I'm old. I'm past my years. And God heard what was coming from her heart. And we know the story. Sarah was going to accept the call, but she was going to do it her way. How many times do we look at a situation, maybe even a leading of God's Spirit, and say immediately, "Yeah, right," like that's going to happen. Or maybe we want to rush it along, like Sarah finally did, try to do it her way. In his article, Taking Care of Busyness, author and teacher John Ortberg said this, For most of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith, it is that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of it. We will just skim our lives instead of actually living them. When Sarah was listening at the tent, and she lacked one thing, listening with a heart opened to God. You see, God has a divine plan. And that plan is to bring salvation and redemption to the world. That plan is to open the door for all to receive him and to come back to him. That plan came to fruition through the birth, ministry, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. And Abraham and Sarah, you're going to be a big part of this. Yes, even now. But this one thing you have to do, listen to me. Because that plan will be passed on to all who will receive him. You see, God wants and desires to do so much through us. But sometimes we are just too preoccupied to hear what it is. Can we grasp just how awesome God is? Can we comprehend just how much he wants to do in and through us? Can we see what he has already done? God is looking to his church, that is the body of Christ, to do something enormous. He is looking for us to do great things in him and with him. Our focus should always be looking to him. The church in Colossae was losing sight of that vision. They were getting caught up in all sorts of things, false teachings, worshiping angels, even denying Jesus had a physical body. They were losing something just sitting at the feet of Jesus through his Spirit. Paul is pleading with the body of Christ there. Keep your heart in alignment with Christ. You are a people made holy through Jesus. Continue in the faith given to you. Don't get caught up in the other things that are going on. But it takes something as reflected through scriptures. David said in Psalm 27, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Jesus said to the rich young man, "One thing you still lack." He lacked a heart searching after God. Paul said of himself to the Philippians, "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining for what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize that is upward call of God in Christ Jesus." This gospel lesson is a continuation of last week, like I said. And last week we heard to love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Martha may have good motives to serve the Lord, and you can tell by the tone of which Jesus spoke to her that he loved her. But at that moment, she needed one thing. Sarah looked at the natural and laughed. She needed one thing. The church of Colossae was losing their focus. They needed one thing. We see in all three of these lessons that God is trying to get their hearts in the right order. Mary knew how to serve, but she also knew how to listen. However, there are others out there. They are not even in the house with Jesus. Jesus had just before this sent out the 72. He wanted others to hear and to listen as well, because people chose a lot of things that aren't even real, or dead-end roads that lead nowhere. What they were listening to because they lacked one thing. Well, this I know. God really is on the move if we just take a break from our busy routine and sit down and listen. And when that happens, we will see great things happen in and through us. I marveled at something I read this week. Do you know where the fastest growing church is in the world right now? Anybody? Where?
China.
China? It's growing in a lot of places, and I've mentioned China many times. The underground church in China is growing. It's growing in Africa and other places, even despite persecution that's going on. But according to the World Church Organization just recently, right now, according to them in the reports, Iran has the fastest growing church in the world. At the time of the regime change in 1979, there were only 500 Christians in Iran. Today, there are around 1 million. The report said that more Iranians have come to Christ in the last 20 years than in the last 13 centuries combined. Why is that happening? Well, the church there says that is what Scripture has taught them. Paul said in Romans, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." They are grasping the one thing, listening, then doing it God's way. You see, ministry doesn't have to be someplace elaborate. It doesn't have to take a lot of busy preparation. It only takes one thing. And ask a question at the beginning of this message. If Jesus was coming to your house right now, what would you do? Well, let me tell you something. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if He is Lord of your life, Jesus is already in your house by His Spirit. He is with you wherever you go. Now, it takes a willingness to listen. Do this one thing. Get to know Him. Listen to Him. Read His Word. Then go and do what He directs you to do. He has a lot for the church to do. We should be praying for the body of Christ in this community, in this area, as well as our own parish, and doing the one thing that He calls us to do. Go and make disciples. Listen to Him. Be prepared with a word whenever He gives it to you. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your life-giving Spirit. We thank You so much for what You want to do in and through each person here. So, Father, help us to have that desire for the one thing, to listen to You and to be guided by You and to do what You call us to do. Wherever we may be, wherever we may be at, Lord God, use us, we pray. And I thank You, Lord, for all that You want to do and are doing through Your body, the body of Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.